a little tender, a little raw, you'll understand.
And why, but you know, sometimes just the simplest things are so true. There is only love. There is only love. And the way that we connect and come back to that love is varied. Sometimes it's surprising. And that's just kind of how life is. And so I want to thank Judith for filling in for me last week. If you were here, you had a chance to just hear the amazing, I think of you as an edge walker, just out on the edge, you know, doing stuff that, you know, exploring healing and connection in the realm of music. And if you didn't have a chance to be here, I would really encourage you to go online and watch. I had a chance to watch it and am fascinated by the work that she's doing, and I'm excited and proud to be a part of supporting it and just watching it all unfold and seeing some workshops here and seminars and opportunities to just really bring this to life. Because, you know, for all of the struggles and things that are going on in the world, I fundamentally, deeply, deeply believe that we are growing into new ways of loving and knowing ourselves and loving and knowing each other. That's not to say it's not going to be without challenge or difficulty, but to be able to look outside the realm of what's, you know, been known or whatever, and just to just experience the healing power of music is just fascinating. So Judith, thank you. Thank you so much for being here last week. I'm excited to spend this week and next week talking about really an exploration of freedom in service. So we'll talk a little bit about that today and next week. The week after that, February 22nd, we're going to do a fire ceremony. For those of you that have been used to doing that the first or the end of the year, we're going to do it in conjunction with the Chinese New Year, two Sundays from now. So I'm really looking forward to that. And the week after that, doing our annual White Stone Ceremony. So it's really a ceremony of what we're wanting to let go of and release and what we're wanting to welcome and bring in. And I really think the timing of it is just right where it needs to be, and I'm really looking forward to it. So that's where we're going to be going in the next few weeks. In talking about exploring freedom in service, this is not going to be a message of here's the 10 or 12 or 20 things that, you know, we do here and ways that you can help. We'll talk a little bit about that next week, but I really want to thank Margaret, even though you are a Patriots fan. But we love you anyway. But Margaret and Brian have worked really hard over the last few weeks to just put together on our website a list of various groups and ministries and areas of service and all of that where you can connect. And so if you find yourself asking, you know, where can I get involved? Where can I plug in? What can I do? That's all on our website. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But really what I want to do today is offer some reflections, specifically five invitations to help you drop into yourself and your heart, and I hope create a space of sacred exploration and love inside of you. And to be able to really tune into what is it that lights up my heart? What is it that makes my soul and my heart sing? Now, some of you here hearing this, you may know. You've got it. You're dialed in. You know what all that's about. And hopefully everything that I say today will just deepen and strengthen that awareness. But I know that there are a lot of us who are feeling a little lost, a little disoriented, a little disillusioned with our life. You know, not just with what's going on here, but in the world today. The word derangement comes to mind. You know, derangement, not in the sense of, you know, lawlessness and out of control anarchy or anything like that, but derangement in the deconstruction of prior arrangements that are no longer working. And when I think about, you know, again, what's happening in our world today, what's happening in our community today, politically, culturally, spiritually, there's a lot of old arrangements that are falling away. And so that's, you know, that's what I mean by derangement. The cool thing is, I really believe that in that derangement, there's a new arrangement that is coming and that is emerging. It's not yet known, at least it's not to me, but it's there, and we have the opportunity to live into it. A lot of this is particularly very alive for me because I've been through a lot of transition in my life, and you know about that. I'm so deeply thankful for your love and support of me as my life has been transitioning. I've been in Seattle the last 2 weeks, finishing packing up my apartment there, and I've got the last of my belongings in Sequoia pickup truck out there, some of which are going to be boxes that come into the office here, some of which will be into my new apartment here in Coeur d'Alene. But, you know, the process of doing that, and this last Friday, my brother's stepmom and I laid my dad's ashes to rest in a funeral home in Lake City. And it was just a sweet time of remembrance and connection and just being with family, and you know, just the whole energy of it feels like, you know, there's just a chapter that's closing and a new one that's opening. And being with that whole experience of, you know, letting go of what was and opening up to what is just wild. And it's great. Somebody said life isn't to be understood, it's to be felt. And if you find yourself not understanding what's going on, my invitation to you is to feel. So, as we talk about service and finding freedom in service today, again, what I'd like us to do is just put on our hat of being an explorer. And to be an explorer is to be curious, it's to be open, and it's to be non-judgmental. I think it's important for us to know the times. Know the times, and what I mean by time is season. Last week, we celebrated in many different contexts the halfway point of winter. You know, we're still in winter, but we're past the halfway point now, so we're inching closer towards spring. Kind of hard for us in this part of the country to realize that because we've been blessed so far with a warmer and drier winter than normal. I know that because my skis are still collecting dust in the garage, waiting eagerly to be used, but there's no snow in the mountains. And, you know, but I heard something that really caught my attention a few days ago. Did you know that in winter, trees are their most active? In winter, trees are their most active, biologically, in terms of their processes that are going on. And it just got me thinking, wow, so many other things about winter when we're in this darkness, you know, and it can feel so quiet, it can feel so uneventful. I don't know about you, but, you know, I love the sun, I love the warmth, and I'm a doer. I just love to, you know, do, and, you know, to just be dark, it's like sometimes maddening. But what if maybe in these seasons of darkness, there's a deep work inside of us that's happening as well. I was thinking of many animals that hibernate this time of year, bears in particularly. You know, again, if you look at it on the outside, you think, oh, they're asleep. You know, all the seeds that are in the ground. And yet underneath that, beneath that, there's a work that's going on. I wonder if one of the gifts of this season of winter is an opportunity to really slow down, stop, and tune in to what's going on. And so in this season of winter, and you've heard me talk about this before, I want to just invite us to watch, to listen, and to learn about what's happening in our own lives individually and what's happening in our spiritual community. But this is something else that I think can happen in this winter season, and dream. Are there any dreamers in here? Like, do you dream a lot when you sleep? Any non-dreamers? Like, when you sleep, you don't have many dreams? How many of you that dream remember your dreams? Really? How many of you forget them? I'm in the forgetful category, Joe. Yeah, I know. I know I dream, but don't ask me. I dreamt last night, and I just know I did. I can't remember what they are. But dreams are these things that I think capture our imagination. And whether we remember them or not, we're changed by them. And something that I'm dreaming about in my own life that I offer to you as an individual, as you think about your service, what is my divine purpose? What is my divine calling? What is mine to do in this world today? Maybe dream about changing from a consciousness of saving the world to belonging more fully to it. I think that's happening in our world today. Whether we realize it or not, whether we really want it or not, life and the world and the universe is waking us up to a shift from trying to save the world to belong more fully to it. What do I mean by that? One of the things that I have invited us to do, if you remember last month, we were talking about abundance, is to ask yourself, if money could talk, what would it want you to know? If the land and the trees could talk, what would they want you to know? If Lake Coeur d'Alene could talk, or Lake Pend'Oré, or Priest Lake, or any of the rivers could talk, what would they want you to know? And as I've just been reflecting on that, there's something about endurance and permanence that comes to my mind. I can't put words to it, but, you know, buildings come and buildings go. Organizations come and organizations go. Churches come and churches go. People come and people go. It's been very present for me, you know. But there's something about these trees out here, the mountains, the water, the land that's remained. And there's an endurance, there's a resilience, and there's a presence to life on life's terms that inspires me. Somewhere in there, I think there's a message connected to that. And maybe if you find yourself wondering, what is mine to do? What is mine to be, or whatever, feel into that and just ask and listen and see what you get. And if you do, let me know. I'd love to hear, you know, some of what you're getting from the world. But this is part of this shift from thinking the world is ours to save or others are ours to save to shift from that to belonging more fully to it. Okay? So let me just offer here some invitations. So in our dreams, might we shift from elevating our awareness to expanding our awareness. Elevating our awareness to expanding our awareness. This is a message to all of us who have been a part of New Thought spirituality for some time, because we use these terms, elevating consciousness, elevating vibration, elevating vision, that for me carries with it a judgment, an aspiration that our spiritual growth is some kind of ascent to some higher plane, or some higher dimension, or some higher reality. And there's a corresponding judgment of that which is low. Have you ever heard speakers talk about avoid low vibration, sadness, grief, depression, anxiety, fear, and worry, you know, and latch on to joy and life and enthusiasm and excitement? I don't know if you pick up on that, but sometimes I pick up on that, and it just doesn't sit right with me. And it's not that it's not true. I just think it's incompletely true. I think sometimes, I mean, I love the light, but light doesn't mean anything if there's no darkness. What can high vibration mean and high life mean if there's not low vibration? Could it be that sometimes life takes us into a period of low vibration, of discouragement, of sorrow, of grief, of anxiety and fear? Why? To lead us to a place of appreciating not necessarily a higher vibration, but a more expansive and deeper vibration. And so again, as you're just thinking again about your own life and who am I and what's going on in the world today, it's easy in traditions like this to do what's been called spiritual bypass, you know, and just kind of just run around things. And the invitation here is to not go around what you're facing, but to go through it. You got it. Yep. Okay. To go farther up is to go farther in. I do a lot of breath work and body work, consciousness meditation, and even sometimes in these groups, you know, get ready to blast off and see God. And I got to tell you, every time that happens to me, I don't blast off. I just become more aware of my body, my heart. It's almost like this language of going up is an invitation to go farther in. And so maybe for you, that might be useful in learning how to listen and connect more deeply with your body and who you are. Secondly, May we expand our awareness from power to agency. Power to agency. I've been thinking a lot about this in the context of what's been going on in Minnesota and what's been going on culturally between the masculine and the feminine. And what I see is it's a power grab. And sometimes in these circles, we talk a lot about personal power. Know your personal power. And again, it's one of those words that I've just, it's like, yeah, I get it. I understand what it's talking about. Okay, James, live in my personal power, live in my personal thing. But I got to tell you, you know, for a guy, that's difficult. For many women, that's difficult because women have lived for centuries, for millennia, under patriarchal, masculine power and agency. And what's happening, I see, is a reaction against that into some sort of feminine, matriarchal power. And the sadness in it is it's just a power grab. What's going on politically in our country is a power grab between liberals and conservatives, between Republicans and Democrats. And so we're throwing rocks at each other and we're attacking each other and we're digging our heels in. Why? Because it's a power grab. Who's in control? And I don't like feeling out of control. I don't. But I heard a story. I forget the name of the speaker. Maybe one of you know who it is. Who heard a rabbi giving a talk about this idea of agency, and he came up to the speaker afterwards and say, "Hey, this was a true story. He was a Palestinian, and an Israeli soldier came up to him and pointed a gun at him, and said, take your clothes off or I'll shoot you." And this person asked, "Where's my choice in that?" And the speaker said, "You still have a choice. You can choose to take your clothes off. You can choose to take your clothes off. To keep your clothes on." And I think to shift from a consciousness of power to a consciousness of agency is to lean more fully into this idea that, yes, each and every one of us have a choice. This is tough for me as a man of God, as a man of faith, because I've lived with an old story of I'm going to follow the winds of God wherever God goes, and people are going to be so inspired by James Kress. Look at the path that I've followed. Wow, I'm listening to God, and I'm just opening my sails and letting myself drift along, you know? But lately, I've been leaning into the fact, wait a minute, I am choosing to live here in Coeur d'Alene. I am choosing to be the minister at this church. I am choosing to be in relationship with my partner Lisa. I am choosing, you know, all these things. And here's something strange that happens when you lean into this. You choose and you start taking radical responsibility. The word radical is an interesting word. It's from the root radix. And you know what the root radix means? It means to be rooted, like a radish. Okay? Radical responsibility is to be rooted and grounded. And when we start taking radical responsibility for our lives, we stop blaming, we stop shaming, we stop fault-finding, and we start realizing that even when it seems like life is completely out of our control, we can choose how to respond to it. When the doctor's report comes back, cancer. When the partner says, I want a breakup or a divorce. When the bank statement says, bankruptcy. When the boss says, you're fired. In all of those, we have agency. A lot of us have asked, or some of us have asked me, you know, where does this church stand? Where do I stand on what's going on in Minnesota? And I'm just here to say that our vision and our purpose is as clear as ever to do what?
Live love.
Love. We stand for living love. We stand for living peace. We end every service with our song, Let There Be Peace on Earth, and let it begin with
me.
The government? The president?
No.
The minister?
No.
The church?
No.
No, with me. So I want to here among us foster and create a space where we can let peace begin with us. In Tuesday night's prayer vigil, it's going to be online via Zoom from 7 o'clock to 8 p.m., it's being offered with intentionality, partly because, yes, I know there are some of us that don't like driving at night, but also part of it is that I hope to invite a sense of peace into each of our homes, or the place that we call home, and to lessen our detachment upon this building as being a source of peace. Now, I love it. I'm grateful for it. This is a great place. But one of the things that Zoom and the pandemic taught me was that there are also new ways to connect as well, and a way to bring love and to bring connection into my place of an environment. And so I really hope you can tune in. It's going to be 1 hour. There's going to be some recorded music, some readings, some reflections, and then just sharing among ourselves. But all of this love, all of this peace comes again from a place of our agency. And instead of asking what is yours to do, what is theirs to do, just ask Spirit, ask God, what is mine to do? Number three, may we expand from spiritual management to spiritual leadership. I'll talk more about this later. But again, this is another shift, okay? People are led, projects are managed. Any project managers here in the audience? I know, Brian. Yes, I thought of you. and you have towering strengths in project management. But how many of us of people have ever woken up and said, gee, I can't wait to be managed today? I haven't. I'd rather get my eyes drilled out than be managed, okay? And my feet run over by a steamroller. Don't we all, though, long to be led? To be led, okay? And so here's a way to think about this. Managers light a fire under people. Leaders stoke the fire within. This ties into this thing about agency. As you think about what it is for yours to do here in this church, I want to invite you to imagine. I want to invite you to dream and not look to me and not look to the church for blessing and approval. Peggy, there you are, is our new events coordinator. You'll be seeing more about it and all that kind of stuff. She's not here to approve validate the things that you want to do here. She is here to serve us by helping coordinate and making sure that the things that we do here, A, don't overlap and space usage and all that gets done, and they fit in line with what we want to do. What do I mean by that? We are a spiritual organization. We're not a political action committee, and I would invite those of you that feel so led to do those things where they're going to make a difference, not here, but in your streets and in your neighborhoods and things like that. So, as a leader, again, it's about looking for that fire that's already within and not looking for it to be managed or approved, but set free. And I hope that you feel that from me, that I'm not here to manage you or to, you know, whatever, but just, you know, you and I'm not here to even to light a fire in you, because each and every one of you have a fire that's burning. I just want to be like a little bellows, you know, and just stoke that flame that's already going and watch it. Okay? Good. I'm glad. All right. Lastly, may we expand this idea from prosperity to abundance. We did a bunch of messages last month. Talking about abundance. And again, in these circles here, an old term that I hear used that for me is fading off into the sunset is the word prosperity. Prosperity really has this financial thing to it, you know? And to me, the word feels old, it feels archaic, it feels Victorian. The word abundance feels more alive to me. Why is that? Because for me, prosperity is a measure of volume, it's a measure of scope, it's a measure of scale, it's a measure of numbers, you know, more and all of that. Abundance, when I think of abundance, it's again, when I just look out around here and I see the trees, I see the mountains, I see the land, I see the lake, I see the wildlife and the animals and the people and the energy of it, there's an abundance that and a multidimensionality to things that just is so full. And here's another way. Abundance speaks to the impact and depth of something. In the human form of life, abundance is thought of as accumulation. And many of us in the first half of our life spend our days and our hours doing what? Accumulating, getting, saving, achieving, earning. Okay? And then something happens and we cross over into the second half of life and we start to wake up to a new reality, that there is a growth that happens by subtraction. As stuff is released, as stuff is let go, as stuff is given up, there's a deeper abundance, there's a deeper experience of support that we all feel and that we all know. And I think if we can open up to that consciousness and not think of, you know, because we talked a lot about money in the last couple of weeks. And so again, it's not about money for the sake of money's sake. It's about giving as a spiritual practice, giving not just of our money, but of our time and of our talent as well, and just releasing it without any attachment to outcome. But just giving for the sheer joy of giving, and then watching what happens in you. I believe when we do that, we experience abundance in our life in many, many ways. And so, just to wrap this up, as we live into all these, you, I, and we can expect to be two things. I call them the two F's of service. Fruitful and fulfilled. These are Reverend James. Two F's of spiritual service. Sounds a little shaky, all right? The laughter tells everything. I love it, okay? To be fruitful and fulfilled. What do I mean by fruitful? We talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And if some of you have been familiar with, come from a Christian background, you know those fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now, it's not limited to that, but as you're looking at your life and looking at the things that you're doing, watch for the experience of your experience of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Here's oftentimes why people burn out. Have any of you ever experienced burnout? I've experienced burnout. And as I've reflected on why is it that I've experienced burnout, I'm not serving from that place. I'm serving from a place sometimes of duty, obligation, self-contempt, it could be self-sacrifice, yes, you know. In other words, I'm doing something to fill some sort of missing need in my life. Something's missing, so I'm going to do something in the hopes that people will see me a certain way. And I'm telling you, that's a dead-end loop. And it especially happens in spiritual communities all the time, and it breaks my heart. People who do something, well, if I don't do this, nobody else will. Or if I do this and somebody else starts doing this, you know, what does this mean? You know, someone's better than me, or I'm not doing a good enough thing, or whatever. And again, the invitation here is to no. Start with love, joy, peace, those fruits of the Spirit, and from there, serve. And if you're serving from that place, you'll experience the second thing, which is a sense of fulfillment, a sense of contentment, a sense of peace, and a sense of knowing. I'm excited to see how all of this is going to shake out, because some of you have been a part of this community for many, many years, and you've had your place of service, and you've been faithful, and are doing your work, and you're doing your stuff, and you are fruitful, and you are fulfilled, and I hope that continues. But I also think there's a stirring that's going on. There's a shaking that's going on. There's a derangement, a disorienting that's going on that I know sometimes isn't comfortable. Some of you have said, I'm just not sure what's going on. I'm not sure where I fit. I'm not sure what I'm doing. And the invitation is here is thank you. And can you live with that? Can you wait? Can you hope? Come back to this idea of, again, we're in winter. And in many ways, all of us are little spiritual seeds. We're in the ground. We're hibernating. We're cocooning. We're resting. Why? Because there's a new DNA, there's a new code, there's a new work that's going on that's wanting to express itself. But we want to give it time. We want to be faithful, and we want to watch and wait with expectancy. So all of that to say, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited that you're here. If I can help you grow one-tenth as much as you're helping me grow and overcome old ministerial stories that I've had in my life, wow, this would be really, really great. I just want to thank you for your presence. I want to thank you for your care. I want to thank you for your engagement and your participation in the life of this church. And I'm just really, really excited to see what's going to unfold in the days and weeks to come. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so it is.
Hey, James, you left out one bullet. It seemed like kind of an important
did I?
One, so maybe you want to...
Oh! Brian's like this voice of God that just comes over the... I think if God had a voice, it would be Brian. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Yes. This was something years ago, probably 30 years ago. I was young and just trying to find my way, battling depression, anxiety in this world, and I heard this old Baptist preacher get up, you know, and in his southern drawl, he just said it so simply, find a need and fill it. It's really that simple. In your life, if you're feeling depleted, if you're feeling without purpose or without direction, find a need and then just dare to fill it. And you don't have to ask permission. You don't need approval. You know, just go do it and watch what happens. Thank you, Brian. Now I'll say amen, and so it is. All right.
Don't clearly see, and I stop.